Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Laydown. My name is Ryan and I am so delighted to share with you a chat I had with New York Times bestselling author Adriana Trigiani about her new book, The Good Left Undone. Adriana Trigiani is the author of 20 books in fiction and nonfiction, which have been published in 38 languages around the world. She is an award-winning playwright, television writer, producer, and filmmaker. She wrote and directed the film version of her debut novel, Big Stone Gap, and adapted her novel, Very Valentine, for television. I absolutely adored her latest novel, The Good Left Undone. Adriana was so lovely to talk with, and I'm pretty sure we're best friends now. Please enjoy this interview with Adriana Trigiani. Adriana Trigiani, how are you?
I'm so good. I am happy to be back in circulation after the pandemic, or during the end of the pandemic, whatever we want to call it. I don't know. What do we call it?
Somewhat normal times.
I guess we're back to normal. You're right. Yeah, it's good.
Oh, it is good to have you here. I love this new book so much. I wonder if you could give us a little summary of The Good Left Undone.
Absolutely. Well, you know, to be really honest, this really is the book of my career. It's built to this book, and it's the story of a woman in contemporary Italy who's coming towards the end of her life. She's the matriarch of her family. And she wants to set the record straight. She realizes that her family really doesn't know the family story. And so the book is the family story. And it's dangerous, adventurous, courageous, surprising. World War II is involved. A bad decision by Winston Churchill's involved that was buried in history, so much so that my publisher in the UK, my editors that had grown up in the UK never heard the story.
Wow.
So it's pretty exciting. Her name's Matilda, which is an odd name in Italy. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. You find out where she was born and what happened. Mm-hmm. So it involves Scotland and France, coastal Italy via Reggio Luca. And it's the story of a family that were, prior to World War II, for generations, gem cutters for the Vatican. As you know, all my books I have to learn how to make something or find something. Mm-hmm. So this book is very sumptuous in that way, because it begins in India, where the rubies come out of the mine.
Yep.
So I wanted this book to be so rich and so full that every aspect of the story got its just due.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Good. I'm glad we succeeded at that.
Oh, it is gorgeous. It is so lovely.
Did you relate to the character of Anina?
I did. I love Anina.
I love her too. And look, this is my career. Everybody's different. But mm-hmm. in my writing life, daughters give it to moms. Moms give it to their mothers. Those mothers give it to their sisters. Those sisters will give it to their great, great niece. I mean, this is my life.
Yeah.
I never meet you, the reader. I meet you, the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to really focus on that, because I had living proof that women in a family line take the telling of the family story seriously. And mm-hmm. I also learned that in prosperity, the stories get lost.
Right.
So that was the other, you know, sort of river upon which this ran.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. I was reading through my notes, and, you know, usually I don't do the sort of like, where did this book come from? But you actually have a pretty interesting story about the inception of this novel that I wonder if you would share.
Well, you know, part of this whole thing, Ryan, is that I look at you and I say to myself, what job does she really want? What career does she really want? She's great at what she's doing right now, but how can you extend the borders of your creativity? Okay. Mm-hmm. So in this book, the first notion that I had of the idea was 25 years ago. And it started in Italy, of course, with my cousins. And it was interesting to me. One of them said to me, oh, you could never have the career here that you have in the United States. And I was a young writer at that time. I was like, oh, why? And then because people don't do it here. The girls don't do it. And I thought, and it's not, by the way, you know this, because, you know, the Italians, there's no shrinking violets. Italian women, they're tough.
Yeah.
So that was interesting to me. So every year when I would return, I would do a little more digging, about my family and to sort of corroborate the stories. Okay. So it came to pass then that began it, but then magical things started happening. And I call them magic. Like we were at the Vatican and at the last minute, the tour guide that was taking us through had to cancel. And so they substituted somebody from inside the Vatican who worked there. And his family curated the museum jewels.
Wow.
Okay. That's a lucky break. Then my friend, Kristen Dornan-Krantz, she had a classic Christie's called Maharajis and Muggles about the rubies. And she said, do you want to take the class? And I normally go, I don't want to go anywhere. But I said, of course I'll take it. And that was like, I don't know, 4 years ago. You see though, it all started to make a thing. But then the big thing that happened, I took a job directing a movie in Scotland. And when I got there, I had a free weekend. There's a whole thing involved in this movie. The movie's called Then Came You with Kathy Lee Gifford and Craig Ferguson. It's on, I think, Hulu. Wonderful. Anyway, or maybe Netflix. I don't know. I can't keep the platform straight. You know how that goes, Ryan. Anyway, it's somewhere. It's called Then Came You 2020. There's two Then Came Yous. Don't know why. Anyhow. So I directed it and I was in Scotland for 3 months. And that is a good amount of time to kind of get to know things. And when I landed there, I had a weekend to make notes and think and ruminate as I like to do and walk the battlefield as I like to do. And so I made a list of places I wanted to see in Glasgow. And the first one was St. Andrew's Cathedral because it was Catholic now, but it was Protestant for 350 years. And I thought, oh, how intriguing.
Yeah.
Wonder how they changed the church and so on. And when I got there, there was a wedding. So that's not really a sign, even though there's a wedding, but I stayed for the mass.
I love that.
And in the mass, every song that the bride chose for her wedding mass, my mother had chosen for her funeral mass.
Oh, wow.
So yes, you can imagine, right? I'm like in the back of the church crying, cry. And, the bagpiper was like distancing himself. You know, Scottish men don't like when you cry. And so he's like, oh, okay, like, get over yourself. I'm having an emotional meltdown here. I get outside and I'm just taking pictures. And a man says behind me, who are you? And I turned around and it was the priest.
Oh,
I said, oh, father, I'm just a tourist. Nothing to be concerned about. And he said, what's your name? And I told him. And he said, you're Italian. And I said, yes, I am Italian American. He said, you need to see that garden. And what the garden was, because I couldn't figure it out at first, it was a memorial garden to the victims, the Italian Scot victims on the Arendor Star on July 2nd, 1940. Never heard of it. But I stood there and I read the names out loud because I was alone in this kind of wintry kind of pre-spring garden. And I felt it from my soul. I was very emotionally moved. And then when I found out what actually happened, well, I was off to the races and it became part of the meatball of the whole novel.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing. True. I love that.
And of course, okay. So there's some things here I want you to share with you. Well, one of them is this is kind of interesting. Women are not in history. We've been by and large cut out.
Yep.
So I wanted to write from the matriarchal line, but in every way, this is also a book for men to read, but it's about the matriarch.
Yep.
And so through her, you get the whole swath of the story. And I think it's important because I kind of had to know that going in. Yep. And I chose a female elephant. You'll see it's bookended by these fables in India.
Yes.
And it's the elephant is a put upon woman, you know, her children are gone. She's hauling rocks and rubies. And that was a very important choice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I devoured this book. I loved it. I loved the fables of the elephant. I loved the way that the family stories, the threads of them just get braided together tighter and tighter. And it's gorgeous. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. I was telling one of my coworkers, it's the type of book that I feel like you need to read while it's like storming outside and you've got a big cozy blanket and some tea and some food. Like it's that.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
A rainy weekend read, or even, you know, curled up in air conditioning with a cup of coffee, whatever your want is. But the idea that you will go on a journey here. And I don't think you can shake it. I have not been able to shake this book, Ryan.
Mm-mm.
It sticks with me.
Yeah.
And sometimes they do like this, but this has never had this experience before. Never.
Yeah. You know, I was going to ask, cause you've written, you know, like 20 plus books. Does it ever get old? Like, does it ever, or is it new and exciting every time?
Well, you know, Ryan, I have this theory that there are those of us that get up in the morning and we're spurred by a desire to be part of the world. And then there's those of us who feel like every day when they get up creatively, they're starting over.
Mm-hmm.
I never feel like I've made it. I'm always trying to figure out how to do what I do better. And I have to tell you that with my editor, Maya Zeev Dutton, that published me, I took the time with this novel. The world has changed. We used to have to publish a novel a year. We don't anymore because there's so many books out there. So, so as the world changed, I just tried to change with it and keep current.
Well, you're doing great.
Thank you. Thank you. It means the world to me because, you know, you're sitting here alone, tearing your hair out, weeping, and you wonder, does anybody care? You know, and now you find out you guys do care, and it's wonderful.
We care. We care. And I very much look forward to hand selling this when it comes out on Tuesday.
Yippee-yay.
Yeah.
Love it.
This is going to be a very good, here, you need this book.
Gotta have this one. Yep. Yep. I love it.
I love it. Before we wrap up, I wonder if you could briefly tell us about two things. I would love to hear about Adriana Inc. And I would love to hear about the Origin Project, both wonderful things that you do in your life.
I love it. Okay. So Adriana Inc. is developed, like maybe started 4 years ago, and it was really bad, but I would just sit there and kind of stare into Facebook Live and hi everybody. And kind of, it was awkward. And then I thought, how can I support my fellow authors? Because I travel a lot and I'll do luncheons and I'll do speeches and I meet these incredible people. And then we just go our separate ways. It's sort of like actors in a movie and we don't see each other for 20 years. Well, that's no good. I wanted you, the reader, to benefit. So I began talking to authors about their current releases. And now it's kind of a way of life. And I try to choose, and I'm always tearing things out of newspapers and stuff. I go, oh, let's get this person or that person. People reach out to us too. So it's an author interview show, but it's really not an interview. It's a conversation. Because I try to get to the pith. And I am so thrilled because you read The Good Left Undone. And it had been my experience in the past that it's hard for the journalist to read the books. It's just there's a lot coming their way. But I wanted to be able to read every book. And so we figured out how to sort of finesse it so that I've read every book.
Nice.
And I'm agog at the amount of brilliance and the stories to be shared. And I hope you write yours and then you come on my show.
I would love that.
Yeah, to that end, because I can tell you're a writer. You have to understand for this particular show, Ryan, I could see Ryan, she can't see me. Why? Because I don't have makeup on and I am not gonna put her through that because she will run screaming from the set. She'll be like, oh, I can't do this. So the Origin Project, I grew up in Appalachia, which is the corner of Virginia called Southwest Virginia. And I wanted to bring an in-school year-round writing program to back home. So I called my friend Nancy Bowmeyer Fisher because she's a philanthropist. And I said, Nancy, can you help me do this? She runs it. We have retired teachers on the ground that facilitate it. were up to 2,500 students, and here's what they do. In the first month of school, they get a journal. I come in and do a workshop about journaling and writing and the seeds of process. We ask them to choose one story to write about from their family history. So whether you're adopted or you're in a foster care or you're whatever, you still can write your story any way you please. And then at the end of the year, we publish their work and they get a book. And through the year, I bring in guest artists and authors who talk to the students, and it is wonderful. So these students that would never get a chance to do anything, by the way, you can come and help because we would love to have you come. Yeah. And you could talk about reading what you do and interviewing and being a journalist and all that stuff, writing. And it's hands-on, it's beautiful, and it has grown exponentially. We started with 40 kids in like grade 9, and we realized we were too late to the party. So we made it from kindergarten through 12 and expanded across 25 schools.
Wow. That's incredible. I love that. That's so beautiful.
Here's what I've learned in my life. You know, you have skills you don't even realize are valuable to people. Mm-hmm. Got to use them. Yep. Got to use them. And sort of the only thing I know how to explain is how an idea makes it from your head to the page and how you can then embellish it and write the story that I can help with.
Yep.
I can maybe teach people to cook a little bit or something, but nah, there's better people than me.
I have one of your cookbooks.
I know, it's good, right?
Yeah.
My sisters, I love it.
Mm,
great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I love that. Well, I mean, you know, I could talk to you all day, but I know that you've got a busy day of interviews and such ahead of you. So,
and I hate to leave you, Ryan. Ryan, I'm going to ask you to get in touch with me, please. Oh, I see. Absolutely. I've got your thing. I can reach out to you too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
This is the beginning of our friendship, my dear.
Definitely.
You're a star. I can tell already.
You're the best.
Okay, my dear. Have a great one.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Huge thanks again to Adriana Trigiani for joining me on the podcast. The Good Left Undone is available now, and it is so great. You all should go read it. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and I'll put those links in the show notes along with all of the books that were mentioned during this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye!